Good morning. I'm Jamie Floyd, and for Brian Lehrer, public advocate Tish James will join me in about a half hour, and we'll talk with her about her first 100 days in office. Later in the show, we'll talk about wrongful convictions and the Brooklyn detective who was under investigation for abuses of justice. Derek Hamilton will be on. He served 21 years in prison for murder and says he was set up by this detective. And we'll talk about raising moral kids. Did you read the Weekend Times piece about modeling moral behavior? Are you doing it? I'll take your calls on that later on. But first, there are just two things that are inevitable in life. You know what they are, and the deadline for one of them is today. Have you filed your taxes? And were you totally, completely, 100% honest about them? NPR's Planet Money took a look at how tax collectors inspire compliance in other countries, namely the Philippines, Italy, and the United Kingdom. Maybe you heard that piece about fear and coercion that goes on into getting people to pay up, and maybe that made you think about your own filing and everybody else's. Caitlin Kenny joins us now. She is a supervising producer and reporter for NPR's Planet Money. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Jamie. Glad to be here.
Well, I assume, Caitlin, you filed. Are you all set?
Yes, I am all set. I have to tell you, though, my husband did say when I told him I was doing this story, oh, great, now you know we're going to be audited, Kate.
Well, we're going to get to what leads to audits in just a moment. But first, we want to talk a little bit about the push that's on to simplify the tax code in the U.S. There's this ongoing debate in this country over how much everyone should pay, particularly large corporations and wealthy people. And then there's the tangle of offshore tax havens. But our problem, it turns out, is really not tax evasion, right? Americans pay their taxes, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's pretty remarkable, actually, is when you look at the numbers and you consider, I think the IRS said last year something like just less than 1% of people were actually audited. People still pay their taxes in an overwhelming majority. Something like 85% of people are totally compliant with the law. So it sort of raises this question, which is, you know, if we know that people do this, people who cheat on their taxes aren't always caught, why are we also willing to actually do it? And it turns out, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into people's minds when they're making this decision, because for the most part, you know, kind of as you said before, you're sort of sitting by yourself in a room when you do your taxes. No one's looking over your shoulder. No one's watching you. And if you're someone who, you know, owns your own business or has a lot of itemized deductions, you have the opportunity to sort of fudge the numbers. But most people actually don't.
Yeah. And our democracy, a lot of people want to say, was founded on a notion of no taxation, but it was really about no taxation without representation. It wasn't about not paying taxes. It was simply about paying taxes in a representative democracy. We want to have listeners call in, Caitlin, and open up the phone lines for their calls. And really, we're interested in a different angle. We want to hear from immigrants from other places and how taxes work where they're from. How do tax collectors get people to file and file right? If you're from somewhere else, anywhere, whether you're from Greece or Brazil or Jamaica or Japan, give us a call, 212-433-WMYC, 212-433-9692, and tell us how it works where you're from. Or maybe there are some CPAs listening, right? Caitlin, listening right now, or IRS agents who want to call in anonymously. Go ahead, Caitlin.
They might be asleep, I was just going to say. You know, finally, almost resting.
That's a good point.
At the end of this busy season.
But if they are listening, they can tell us anonymously what they know on the topic. What's the tax evasion report or tax day report today? Anybody who has anything to say on this topic, 212-433-WMYC, 212-433-9692. Caitlin, let's talk a moment about the Philippines. The strategy there is to target the very rich. And let's talk a little bit about Kim Henares and that kind of well-known story, though some of our listeners may not know, and their focus on the extremely wealthy in the Philippines.
Sure. So Kim, actually, she's kind of an unusual character. I mean, one of the things you should know about her is that a lot of times when she's photographed, she's actually carrying a gun. She says she does this simply for protection. She has bodyguards. She figured it would be rational for her to know how to shoot. But
so she's,
you know,
a tax collector and she feels she needs to carry a gun?
Well, she says, you know, the Philippines can be a dangerous place. The president assigned her bodyguards and they were carrying weapons. And she thought, well, if they have weapons, I should at least know how to shoot for myself. But yeah, she's the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service for the Philippines. And the thing is, you know, when the press and the media both, you know, there writes about her, oftentimes they depict her shooting a gun. So she's got this image as this really tough woman, someone you basically don't want to mess with.
Wow.
And when she came into office, the department that she worked for had sort of a bad reputation. They had a lot of problems with corruption. A lot of people weren't paying their taxes. And her approach was sort of to go after the big dogs in the country, people who were very well known, because she knew if she went after them, it would get a lot of media attention. And that would sort of, I don't know if scare is the right word, intimidate the rest of the population into paying their taxes. If they saw her going after these big, bold-faced names, they would say, well, if they're going to get caught, I'm certainly going to get caught.
And the biggest, boldest face name may have been Manny Pacquiao, right?
Yeah. Manny Pacquiao, who's so loved in that country. I think his face is even on a postage stamp there. And he's really like a national hero. So it was kind of, you know, a pretty bold move for her to go after him. But
tell our viewers, I mean, our listeners, just those who may not know. I only know Manny through the tax case, honestly. But tell listeners who Manny Pacquiao is, just in case one or two listeners may not know.
Sure. Well, he's a fighter. I think he's sort of a smaller guy. He fights, I think, in the proper division is called lightweight. And he is a smaller guy. He's a boxer, but he's, you know, fought Floyd Mayweather and a lot of very well-known boxers in the U.S., basically. And, you know, I watched this short documentary about him as I was getting ready for this story. And it sort of starts with this beginning where he says, you know, I grew up very poor and I had to fight for my family to survive. And he's really become this national hero for the people of the Philippines. And one of the crazy things that happened when Kim started to look into him is that he said at the time he was planning to donate some money for a relief effort. And she said because the Bureau of Internal Revenue had frozen all his accounts, you know, he couldn't make this donation to this humanitarian effort and how awful it was. And I asked Kim about that and she sort of laughed and said, yeah, I only froze some of his money. I mean, this guy makes a lot of money in these big fights. So I think he was still able to donate.
All right. Let's take a call from Sarah. Sarah is on WMYC. You're calling, I think, Sarah, from Manhattan, and you're on with Caitlin Kinney of NPR's Planet Money, and you're on WMYC. Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just turned on your segment, and I was intrigued because my mother, who's about 84, just told me she was born in India. I'm American. My parents are British. My mother was born in India. And her father was a tax collector for the British government. So she told me this story that I'd never heard before, but it kind of put a different lens to me a little bit on the British occupation of India. I don't want to say it as a justification of colonialism, but she told me that she would go sometimes with my grandfather to these sort of remote provinces and places like Orissa. And when he went to collect the taxes, he would go and meet with the village elders, the tribal elders, and they would all sit in a circle and they would have this discussion about and kind of negotiate what their taxes should be for the British government that year. And they would say, okay, well, you say we owe this much, but, you know, there's been a drought and there's this man-eating tiger and he's been eating our goats and we can't pay that much. And they would have a talk about it and they would kind of arrive at an amount. And I thought that was a really interesting, like, way of doing it. I don't know if that's how – I can't speak. I'm not a historian. I can't speak for if that was how everybody did it, but that was apparently how my grandfather did it in some of these remote places.
That is a fascinating story, Sarah. Thank you.
That was a give and take is what I'm saying.
Yeah, a negotiation. And Caitlin Kinney, what's your reaction to that story to the extent there may be some truth to it?
I mean, it's interesting. It's not something, you know, I came across in reporting this. But, you know, we did, you know, look at the UK just to bring up, you know, for example. And, you know, the interesting thing about the UK, just thinking about that negotiation she was just describing, is that the UK compared to lots of other places, you know, a lot of people are very compliant. They pay their taxes on time. And so one of the novel approaches they actually tried there was this sort of idea of testing out different wording and different messaging to taxpayers who hadn't paid on time, basically playing off people's sense of what's right and what's fair, and just sort of emphasizing, you know, I think they had the message and letter said something like 9 out of 10 taxpayers paid on time. And so they tested out all this different messaging on their taxpayers, and they found out that the phrase that worked the best was this very simple, which said, quote, "You are currently in the very small minority of people who have not paid us yet." And basically it worked. It just appealed to people's sense of what they call social norms, of what their friends and neighbors were doing. And they found when you made people feel like they were doing something out of the ordinary, that they were an extreme case of not paying, that they sort of fell in line. Now, of course, that tells you something about the UK and about the people who live there. That approach probably wouldn't work so well in the Philippines. I mean, Kim says fear, you know, and shame are really the approaches that work in her country.
But interesting about social normative theory, depending on where you live and where you're collecting taxes. Let's go to Peter in Richfield, New Jersey. Peter, you're on WMYC.
Greetings from a citizen of Estonia.
Ah, well, I appreciate your calling in. What is your experience in Estonia?
First, do you know where Estonia is?
I have a sense of where Estonia is. Is that where you're from?
Yes.
And have you paid taxes in Estonia?
Yes.
Or do you currently pay tax in Estonia, I think is probably the question
I should be
asking.
Estonia is part of the former Soviet Union.
Yes.
They got independence back in 91 along with Latvia and Lithuania.
Right.
It's across the Gulf from Finland, 50 miles, capital city, Tallinn. Anyhow, in Estonia, birthplace of Skype, by the way.
That I did not know.
Estonia, everything is done on mobile phone. We pay our taxes, we do our voting there, and Estonia has a flat tax of just 20% of your income.
The flat tax, and it's paid on the mobile phone?
Yes. Everything is done with mobile. It's one of the most internet-wired countries in the world. We pay for our parking garage. We pay for our tickets. We do our banking. Everything is done via our mobile phone with the citizen's ID identification.
And Peter, did you suggest that you also vote on the mobile phone?
That is correct.
My goodness. Let me ask you a question. There's been concern here in the United States about fraud in voting and in taxation if done digitally. Is there not that concern in Estonia?
Well, no, because the identification is encrypted with an incredibly complex algorithm. And you have to remember that Estonia is only a country of 1.3 million people. Mm. There's more people in Manhattan than there are in Estonia.
And I won't make a comparison on corruption.
an interesting story, too. The president of our country, Thomas Ilves, he was born in Sweden in 1953, emigrated to the United States, grew up in the town of Leonia, New Jersey. Columbia University, Boston University, got several degrees, emigrated after Estonia got its freedom, and is now the president of this country. This would be like Arnold Schwarzenegger being president of USA.
Well, Peter, this is a fascinating conversation. I almost feel that we could do a whole segment on the connection between Estonia and our listening area, but you've given us something to talk about in the question of taxation alone. So let me go back. Thank you for your call, and let me go back to Caitlin Kenny.
Do some research. So, Estonia is a fascinating country.
It is.
If you come, we'll gladly show you, make good time there, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Caitlin Kenny, what do you think about that? The flat tax is something that has been talked about so many times, so let me ask you to address that. It's been a platform in some presidential campaigns. And then the issue of using technology to deal with the massively complex tax process, taxation process. So can you address each of those?
Just in regards to the technology, I mean, it was funny. One of the things when I was working on this story that I learned is that, you know, the IRS sort of had a big push to try to become a more friendly, more approachable IRS, I think about 10 years ago. And part of that approach was to try to make it easier for people to pay their taxes. And they did a lot of messaging. I think they did even ads on TV basically talking about, oh, you can pay by credit card. Here are all these ways to pay, and sort of trying to spin themselves as more of a service industry where the taxpayers are their customers that they're out to service rather than being this, you know, big, bad, feared agency that people were afraid was going to come after them. And they found out that actually also helped, you know, with compliance. More people were willing to pay their taxes, obviously, if they made it easier for them to do so. And if they found the IRS, you know, more a place they could call and ask questions to and less something to be feared. Mm. In regards to the flat tax, you know, that's something that a lot of people talk about, how complicated the tax code is and how all those difficulties. But you know, we could have a whole show about that. That's just a very complex issue.
And, you know, it seems like such a nice, simple solution, but it is, as you suggest, a lot more complicated than we can do justice in one question and answer. And as Peter points out, Estonia, 3 million, and then, of course, we have the United States. He suggests that Manhattan alone is bigger than Estonia. Let's talk about technology a little bit more in a different way. Going back to the Philippines, but also in other places, you know, the tax collector there, the gun-toting Kim Henares that you talk to, one way she uses technology is to use social media. And there was one socialite in particular who had flaunted her wealth online. Let's take a listen to a clip of Kim talking about that strategy.
Her Instagram or her Facebook's show her in a bathtub full of money, you know? so that's what
we're doing. Literally in a bathtub full of money?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page. But things in the social media are also reported in our traditional media. It's not a problem to be rich, and it's not a problem to flaunt it, as long as the taxes are properly paid. So if you're rich and you flaunt it, just make sure you have been paying the right taxes, you know? Sooner or later, I will see it.
So
I love it. Such a polite warning to the taxpayer.
And you had the same reaction, Caitlin. I had a whole bathtub full of money.
I just thought, oh, man, you know, this girl is dumb. Why would she do that?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think people forget that all this stuff that they're putting out there in
it's
social
public.
Media.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not just their friends. They click public. You could just click the button that says only my friends should see this, but they click public. Is this something that the IRS is known to do here in the U.S.? Check social media, Facebook and Instagram to catch cheaters?
The IRS definitely, you know, they've gone after some very high-profile people, you know, Wesley Snipes. There's a rapper named Young Buck. So it's definitely something, you know, they're definitely paying attention to public figures in our economy who flaunt their wealth and looking to them to see if anything is out of the ordinary. You know, the really interesting thing about this case in the Philippines, too, is that, you know, I had actually tried to find that photo of the woman in the bathtub and I couldn't. But I did find this crazy video online of her 21st birthday party in Beverly Hills. And it was just so over the top. You wouldn't believe it. I think she wore something like 6 different dresses in the video. And it was this cake with a, you know, a Louis Vuitton bag on top and just this depiction of enormous wealth. Mm. And then Kim looks into her and finds, huh, this is weird. She hasn't paid her taxes in a while.
Yeah. Well, you can't take it with you, but the tax collector can take it from you. Let's take a call from Joan in Queens. Joan, welcome to WMYC. Thank you so much for your call. You are on with Caitlin Kenny from NPR's Planet Money on Tax Day.
Yes, I was complaining recently about having to pay somebody to do my taxes. I came here from the United Kingdom. And over there, the Inland Revenue sent you the form, you filled in your deductions, sent it back, and they told your employer exactly how much money to take from you. This is the 21st century United States. Why can't they have a service like that? I read on the blog last night that there is a bill in Congress now to do exactly that, but TurboTax is fighting it.
Well, how about that comparison? I know you mentioned earlier, Caitlin, that you've looked at England, and we've talked briefly about how complex it is over here. and there is that bill. Does it have to be this complex? People do have to spend money just to get their taxes done, even people with moderate incomes. And this is a constant complaint. Is the comparison fair or even possible? Can you even make these comparisons to England, to the Philippines? I want to talk with you in just a moment about Italy, the other country that you looked at.
Well, I think the important thing to remember is that it's actually a small number of people who, you know, own their own businesses, who have itemized deductions, who are actually dealing with, you know, complex tax paperwork. A lot of other people are just having money withheld from their paycheck, which saves us a lot of work. So we're actually talking about a smaller minority of people who have to do really complex filing of their taxes.
You know, you looked at Italy, and there's a joke in Italy that tax evasion is the national sport. It's so widespread. And they've developed a really interesting way to deal with the problem, which is data mining. Here's a clip of the Italian tax collector you spoke with, Chiara Pizzolo.
Or a car. If you buy a car, of course you have to register the car in the public register for automotive, and we automatically gather the information.
The tax office can also make private businesses rat you out. Some stores report to the government who exactly is buying what. Not everything, though. I ran a shopping list past Chiara. If I went to the store and bought groceries, is it possible that your agency would know that I've spent X amount on groceries?
Absolutely not.
A bouquet of flowers?
No.
A cup of espresso?
No. Doesn't seem really interesting, the coffee and stuff.
right. Okay, what about if I went and I bought a really fancy new Prada handbag? Would you know about that?
Big expenses might be treated by the revenue, yes, depending on the amount, yeah.
What is the amount?
Those are expenses beyond 3,600 euros.
About $5,000 US.
So, Caitlin, I can understand why this would trip their trigger, but are there some privacy concerns about this strategy? Are Italians alarmed by this? And should we be concerned about these kinds of privacy concerns here in the U.S. if we're going to have this sort of data mining for tax collection and auditing purposes?
The Italians, it's very safe to say, are very upset about this. There was quite a lot of reporting in the press when they first announced the program. And, you know, people were saying, why does the government deserve to know what I'm buying? There was a quote from a woman who had, I think she had three horses, and she was concerned that the government would think she was wealthy because she had these horses. But she was claiming she spent the majority of her money on feeding them and she'd cut off other expenses. So it's something people are really concerned about. You know, I asked Chiara about it, and she said, you know, we've had the Italian privacy agency look into it. They've cleared us to this level. But it's something on people's minds. You know, there's also a concern that people may be afraid to spend money on really big purchases, the kind of things that cost over $5,000, luxury watches, really expensive artwork, the kinds of purchases an economy needs, because they're afraid to get the tax collector's attention, basically. Mm. But the problems in Italy with tax evasion are huge. And, you know, that can have such an effect on an economy, which is depending on that as the source of revenue, that Italy, they had to try something unconventional and a little out of the box.
And you point out that while places like Italy and the Philippines have a pretty widespread problem with tax evasion, there's something about our values here in the United States that suggests that we don't have a similar problem with tax evasion. I do want to ask you about, on the issue of simplicity, we do have a tweet from Vedran, a former Yugoslavian, who says they used to deduct our taxes from our paycheck and that was it. You never see it. No forms, no returns. So that gets to your point earlier, Caitlin, about the simplicity of having as much as possible deducted from the paycheck. I want to ask you about that report out from the AP yesterday about the odds of getting audited this year being lower than usual, Caitlin. Why is that?
I actually, the IRS commissioner was on All Things Considered yesterday, and he was saying, you know, they've had some budgetary issues, and of course they have to now deal with the Affordable Care Act and other things that have made tax law more complicated, but their budget hasn't increased. And so basically one of the things they've had to cut down on is enforcement. I think he said something like there's going to be somewhere in the range of about 100,000 fewer audits this year than last year. And so they just basically, it sounds like they just don't have enough money. I mean, if you think about it, the job of the IRS and of all these agencies in all these countries is huge. I mean, you're talking about monitoring an entire population, all the money that they make, and trying to make sure all those people are paying exactly what they owe. It's a very complicated job, and it's a hard thing to catch.
A complicated and massive task. Well, we thank you so much on a what is for some, I fear, today still a complicated massive task. But good for you, Caitlin Kenny. You got yours in, and I hope your husband is wrong. I hope you will not be audited for doing the good work of journalism and coming on with us today. Caitlin Kenny is with NPR's Planet Money team, supervising producer there and a reporter. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. And coming up next, we're going to have public advocate Tish James on her first 100 days in office. Stay with us.